Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a very good Saturday afternoon, everyone. Listen, October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and to help us kick that off on At Home with Victoria, we've got a wonderful young lady on the phone right now that we're going to connect with in a moment. She is a two-year breast cancer survivor. Her name is Maima Carmo, and she is the founder as well as the CEO of the Tiger Lily Foundation, a foundation that I've got to tell you that's just doing wonderful things out there. And what I am so amazed about is that she's been able to do all of this in a matter of 2 years. So we're going to go ahead and get her on the line. Maima, are you there with us?
I am here, ready and waiting.
Thank you. So we finally made it happen. It's so good to talk to you again, love.
You too. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show. I really appreciate it and look forward to sharing.
Well, listen, speaking of sharing, for those of our listeners out there who don't know your story, tell us a little bit about your story and start from the beginning.
Wow. Well, my story begins, the actual journey began when I was 13. My mother is a registered nurse, and she taught me to do my breast examinations at 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her telling me, you know, to come in the room and, you know, take off my shirt, and she was going to show me how to do breast examinations. And I thought, I don't have breasts. What in the world am I examining? But she taught me to do them. And she explained that the reason why she was telling me at the time is because, for one, girls should know at the onset of, you know, puberty that mm-hmm. their body start changing, and they need to know what their breasts feel like, because as they get older, they're going to grow bigger and they're going to have different textures, or, you know, it's going to change texture and shape and size. And
sure.
And so I needed to know, so as my body changed, I would be aware of lumps and discolorations or anything that didn't belong there that was abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how will I know if something's wrong? And she says, if you do these exams every month, starting now, you'll know.
You'll know, yeah.
And it's interesting, when I found the lump of my breast at 31 years old, I heard her words echoing in my head, you'll know.
You'll know,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and so when I found the lump, and when I was 31, went to the doctor, went to see a surgeon, got a mammogram. Mammogram actually found two lumps. But the doctor insisted I was too young to have breast cancer, that, you know, women my age didn't get breast cancer. I needed to forget about it and just, you know, live.
Wow.
She said, you're a young mother, you're busy, you have a newborn, not newborn, but, baby, your daughter's like, you know, she's 3 years old. Just, you have a lot
right.
in your body just going through changes. Just don't worry about it. And I said, but this is, you know, it's kind of getting bigger, and
mm-hmm.
I'm really tired. I'm having night sweats. I don't feel right. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Can you please do a biopsy? And she insisted that, you know, it couldn't be breast cancer. And we scheduled an aspiration, which failed in aspirating. But she kept insisting it couldn't be breast cancer. So I went home.
That's
and the lump doubled in size over 6 months. I went to her again. And I said, can we please do a biopsy now? And she said, no, let's do a reaspiration. So I scheduled a biopsy, and the next day I got the call from her office. She called me to
mm-hmm.
tell me that I had breast cancer. And after my surgery, I found out that the cancer was aggressive.
Now, during any of that time, did she ever sit down and say, hey, you know, look, I know the whole time I was telling you, no, this can't be breast cancer. Did she ever apologize or anything?
Never.
Wow.
She never apologized, and it was so hard for me because I did the right thing, you know. I
sure.
found the lump in time. I went to her, and Victoria, the lump doubled in size in 6 months. If I hadn't pushed for a biopsy, I would be metastatic or dead today. And so many young women I'm meeting, you know, don't understand that women under 40 can and do get breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
and they can survive if they're diagnosed in time, but they need to know that there are risks
right,
out there.
Right. Right.
Kind of
right.
like when you leave the house and you cross the street,
right.
you need to know that there are cars coming, there are lights, and there's, you have to know things so you can be empowered to make decisions that are going to, you know, save your life.
Well, thank goodness, too, you had a mother when you were 13 years old who said, hey, look, this is something that you need to do. And as you were telling that story, I remember I first learned about breast cancer in the public school system. There was a D.C. public school system. There was a young woman who came from the health department. And I think I was probably about 14, 15 years old. And she came and she kind of went down a list of things that, you know, it was basically a session with young women and things that we should look for. And breast cancer was one of the topics, and she had a mannequin, and she was able to show us how to do the self-examination through the mannequin. But then she went even further than that. She brought a second mannequin that actually had a lump inside. One had a sort of a very small one had a medium size, and one had a larger one. So then you were able to feel the different sizes of lumps, and I still remember that to this day.
You know, it's so important. These lessons start when you're young. One of the women that the girls we support, she was diagnosed in her early 30s. She remembered that when she was younger, she was going to a train station one day. And there was a lady who was, you know, passing out brochures about breast cancer, and she was talking really loudly and saying, if you're a woman, you have to know about breast cancer, even if you're a young girl. And she gave her a brochure, and the girl, I remember telling the woman, I'm too young, you know, I don't need to know about this kind of stuff. But the woman's words echoed in her mind. And they talked for a very brief time. But years later, when she was, you know, she saw her lump, she knew to go get it checked out, because the woman's voice kept, you know, would always, you know, it would be in her head, you know, like, this is not, you know, something to ignore. And
right.
So that lady, just kind of probably out of the kindness of her heart doing that work, helped to save this woman's life, you know, this girl's life.
Absolutely.
10, 15 years later.
Well, and you know what I always think too, because I know just to let folks know, a lot of the work that the Tiger Lily Foundation does, that you focus a lot on young women as well. But there are so many mixed signals and messages out there for women, because they say once you get a certain age, and I can't remember what the age is, but I know it's sort of late 30s and 40 and over, that you should go and have a mammogram. Whereas in your case, you know, you were in your early 30s when you found that. So, you know, so the message out there, you know, seriously, it's not a very clear message, I don't think.
Well, things are changing and times are changing. The environment's changing. Our diets are changing. And people's bodies are changing along with what they're eating, the energy around them, the pollutants in the soil, in the water,
mm-hmm.
in the food. And so for many reasons, you know, women are getting breast cancer a lot earlier. For example, a lot of what we eat has a lot of chemicals in the food, a lot of estrogen, a lot of testosterone, a lot of things that can make a young girl start menopause earlier, develop earlier, you know. And the mothers are eating things that are impacting, you know, their bodies.
Sure.
And when they have children, you know, this is all like a trickle-down effect. They're doing a lot of studies
mm-hmm.
on the environment and breast cancer.
Well,
but,
I certainly believe that, because, I don't care what city or town in America that you go and visit today, and you look at the teenagers, and a lot of teenagers look like they have the bodies, you know, of an adult.
They have more of a body than I do at twice
yeah.
their age. It's kind of like, are you really a kid? But, you know, the thing about it is, that's it, because they're developing earlier, and they're eating a lot more foods that are processed and full of chemicals and maybe pesticides, you know, diluted for, you know, of course, and preservatives and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
There's a girl who I met who will be at one of our events coming up. She was 16 years old when she was diagnosed.
16?
I talked to 16. There was one I talked to on Friday who was 18.
Wow.
There's a girl who was diagnosed in California this spring, I believe, who was 10.
Oh, my goodness. I have, you know, I've covered news my whole life, and I've got to tell you, I have never, never heard of kids as young as what you're telling me that's been diagnosed with breast cancer. That's serious stuff.
Yeah, the 10-year-old had a mastectomy, and she's finishing chemo, I believe. But the thing is, there are girls getting younger and younger, and it's not to
yeah.
say they're going to get breast cancer. The thing is, they need to be preventative in nature. They need to monitor their diets, their exercise,
mm-hmm.
cleansing their bodies, make sure that they're doing things within their lifestyle that will mitigate or lower the risk of them getting breast cancer.
Sure.
So a lot, some
sure.
people say, well, girls are too young at 13 to talk about breast cancer. Well, we talk about breast health, not necessarily breast cancer.
Right.
If you're
right.
being healthy overall, it's going to lower your
mm-hmm.
risk.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal, what Tiger Lily does, is we work to educate young women about their breast health and their body health, and help to educate them on why it's important to be their own best advocate. So
speaking of Tiger Lily, I know we had spoke before, and you said that, so tell everyone how that sort of came on your heart during your breast cancer and how you started that foundation?
Well, it was actually one of those things that you just never expect. Before I got breast cancer, I used to pray to God and say, well, you know, I really want you to show me my path, and I have this beautiful little girl, and I want to leave the world better for her than she, and I came into it and she came into it. And what can I do to make a difference? And I couldn't figure out that thing that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got breast cancer, and I was like, okay, God, this is not what we, this is not, not only did you not answer my question, you know, like, come on, you know, help a sister
right,
out here.
Right, you didn't have to do this.
No, yeah, please, take it back. And then I went through a point where everything that I worked for had kind of, like, fallen apart, because I came to this country when I was 16 years old from Liberia, West Africa,
mm-hmm.
and I had worked hard to build, you know, to get, you know, to the point where I had a career and all the things that we want to have, and I had the baby
mm-hmm.
and a nice house, and I'm like, everything was kind of, like, toppling over, like, just like dominoes, and then I ended up kind of going through a period of fear and anger and unsurety about the future, and just kind of like, you know, why is this happening to me? And as you know, sometimes when you're going through a tough time, nobody can fix that problem for you besides yourself or God.
Absolutely.
You can have
yeah.
people give you advice. You can
advice,
have them tell you,
sure.
even your own mother can tell you,
mm-hmm.
here's what you should do. But at the end
right.
of the day, you have to have time with God.
Sure, and God, absolutely. I agree with you.
So came to a point where a lot of my friends, you know, I would be home alone and people would be doing their thing, or I'd be by myself at nighttime. I couldn't sleep. And I just prayed to God. I said, okay, you know, it's just you and me. Everybody is gone. The hair is gone. Part of the breast is gone. A lot of my friends are not around. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's just, it's me and you, my heart, my life, and my body. You know, what do you want me to do with this thing? What is it that, what's the purpose? I want you to show me. I'm begging you, because I'm too scared and I'm too alone and I don't know what to do. And
mm-hmm.
I give up. I give up to you. I surrender, because I don't know what to do anymore. Mentally, emotionally, physically, everything.
Right.
And then I said, I feel like you left me, God, but if you didn't leave me, I want you to show me by morning time what it is you want me,
oh.
to, want me to do. I want you to...
I'm about to start crying.
Well, whenever I talk about it, I do cry, because...
Oh.
I really was like, I was so angry at God. I was so hurt. I was so scared. And I was like, if you exist, I want you to show me. I'm giving you this an ultimatum. I need you to come up, show up to me tonight. Tell me something, do something, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to do. And, you know, so I went to bed. And in the morning, I got up, and I remember opening my eyes, and I got up, and I was like, oh, my God, I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started crying, because I was still sick. I had a fever that day, but I felt like I had been cleansed
mm-hmm,
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just felt like a new person.
A new person,
I felt like this fire, this light, this thing. You know, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, this thing was different. I was different than I was the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I put my feet on the floor, and I still felt the same. Because, you know, when you have breast cancer or have chemo, your feet get numb and your fingers. And I said, okay, my feet are still numb, but I feel like I'm floating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, you do exist. And then I just sat there, and I was bald. I laid my head in my hands, and I just sat there, and I cried. And I was like, I look outside the window, and there were trees. You know, there are a lot of trees where I live, and the wind was rustling them, and there was light playing on the leaves. And I was like, oh, wow, you're playing with me. You're talking to me, you know? And I just felt so happy. And I said, okay, so you kept your side of you kept your part
right.
of the promise. What's my part? What am I supposed to do? And then I just heard the voice in my head saying, Tiger Lily. And I was like,
wow.
Okay, because I love Tiger Lily, so I'll tell you in a minute why, but
mm-hmm.
it's Tiger Lily. And I said, but that's my email. It's a flower I love. What does this have to do with Tiger Lilies? And then I just had this, and I don't know how to explain it, because when God talks to me, I don't hear a voice. I just have an idea or a thought.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then he just said to me, don't worry about knowing it. It'll come. I'll give it to you. It'll come.
To you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you at the right time. Just don't ask how or why. Just do it when, you know, do it. It'll
mm-hmm.
come. And I said, okay. And then Victoria, it's been the whole, since that time, it's like the more I open up to God, he just gives me the vision. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And then, you know, I've had the thought to be in a foundation to help other women who are going through what I'm going through. But
mm-hmm.
I never run a business before or open a nonprofit or done marketing or media.
Sure.
I didn't know what to do.
Can I just tell all of our viewers out there, I've got to tell you folks, again, I've been in television for a very, very long time as a news anchor and as a reporter, and this young lady has done in 2 years in terms of getting local press, national press and publications, sponsoring receptions on Capitol Hill. I mean, she has done more in two years than a lot of foundations can probably do in about 10 years. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But go ahead.
No, I appreciate it. It's just God, because, like, I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show last year,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting there, and the guests who were on with me were Christina Applegate and Nancy Brinker, founder of Komen, which is the
mm-hmm.
biggest breast cancer foundation in the world. And as I was sitting there, I heard the voice in my head saying, I told you so. Like, just do what I say, and I'll, and so, and I don't know if you know, well, I'm a single mother, and, the work I'm doing is like, it's a lot of work, but it's not work to me. It's like God does, he creates, that idea, and then I just mm-hmm. walk in faith, and then the doors open, the path clears.
But
and
I think
because,
it's so powerful, though, because one of the questions that you asked yourself a while back, even before, you started the foundation, was that you had a daughter, and, you wanted to know, what can I do when I leave this earth to make it a better place for her?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And this is what you're doing to make it a better place for her and so many other women.
Well, the most amazing part is, she's 6 years old, and she's like the biggest Tiger Lily in breast cancer, breast health advocate. She tells people at her school, at gas stations, her friends, at restaurants. I mean, if
uh-huh.
she needs any kind of breast cancer ribbon, she gets excited. But the goal is that this is going to change people's lives, because if young girls are educated and aware and empowered, they're going to be their best advocates. They're going to eat healthier. Maybe they're going to lower their risk of getting breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they find a lump or a rash or some other a symptom or sign, they can get treated in time. And
mm-hmm.
That is so powerful. But so the way Tiger Lily started, back to your previous question, is I just kind of, build the first page of the website, and then, God is like, well, you need to have programs. I'm like, what kind of programs? I don't know what about programming. And then I got the ideas for the, when you're in treatment, there are a lot of people who are by themselves, who don't have support. And I would have my mother there. My friends came from all over the world. They began to come. My aunt came from Tunisia. And I'd be there with like three people or four people, and there are people who were walking there for their treatment, sit there for 6 to 8 hours, and leave and drive themselves home. And it just pained
wow.
my heart, because, as you may know, this is a very lonely time, scary time, and you need support. And so the Chemo Buddy program became the first program. And then everything else just kind of came from there. I just kind of listen to God, and I do whatever he says, and I don't ask questions anymore. Because even sometimes I don't, because when we first began, I didn't have any money. A lot of the foundation's overhead I paid for out of my pocket. And I didn't have money at the time. I was my bill money that I used.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, God, I know you said to do this, but I got to pay the light bill.
I've got to buy groceries and pay the mortgage. Yeah.
Yeah.
The gas in the car, regular everyday living stuff.
But I've never wanted since that time. I mean, sometimes things are.
Wow.
It just, and the things that are coming up, it's bigger than the bills or mortgage. And God's bringing the awareness of the foundation now. It's bringing people are learning about the foundation. There are young women who are picking up the programs, who are doing breast examinations, who are doing fundraising, who are doing all the things. Because at the end of the day, Tiger Lily is not about me. It's
mm-hmm.
about the young woman who I don't want to get breast cancer. It's about the young woman
yeah.
who have lost their lives because they were not aware of the disease in time. And
right.
it's for the ones who may get breast cancer who need support. So it's just growing, and we're helping people all over the country right now. We're helping girls in different states, and and this year is going to be an amazing year for Tiger Lily.
Tell us about the did you just had a reception in D.C.?
Yes. Tiger Lily is a strong advocate and part co-author of a bill called the Breast Cancer Early Act that Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz introduced into Congress in March. The Early ACT stands for Education and Awareness Requires Learning Young. And it's targeting girls between the ages of 15 and women up to 40 to educate them about their breast health, to empower them to be their own breast health advocates, and to teach them to speak up and ask questions and to, you know, get support if they need it. So this bill was introduced into Congress, and we're trying to get people to support it because it's for young women. If it should pass, which it will pass by next year, all the states will be doing a national education and awareness campaign, a media campaign, and doctors will be educated. Doctors will know that when a woman comes to them at a certain age and says, "I have a lump," they can't ignore her.
Sure.
They would have materials. They'd be aware, and the young girls will be aware as well as their families. So we had this event on Capitol Hill, which was it had a lot of survivors that were there. Members of Congress attended the event as well. All community activists from all the local organizations, health organizations, hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 245 people, I believe, that attended the event who came to learn about. You saw the pictures.
I saw the pictures on your Facebook page, and they were absolutely amazing. And speaking of Facebook, I do want to let all of our listeners know that I put some of her Maima's websites on my page here at Blog Talk Radio, so you can go on there, and I think I listed like five or six of your different websites, as well as a link to the Susan Coleman Foundation and the American Breast Cancer Society. So I don't want everybody to sort of have to run and get a pen and try to write all these websites down. They're all there, and she's got a lot of them. Or even if you, trust me, if you type her, Google her name in. I think when I Googled your name in Maima, you have the first two pages on Google. So you'll definitely be able to find her and all of her information. But one site that I really like, that's the tigerlily.ning.com. And I'll tell you why I like that, because it's a website where there's a lot of young women on there, beautiful women from all different backgrounds, who basically just share information, share their stories. There's one young lady on here named Latrina, and she wrote a post that says, "Never give up." She says, "You cry, and then you wipe your eyes, and you let go, and let God deal with it." Those were the words that I remember my dad telling me when I first found out about my breast cancer diagnosis. He also said that he would give his own life to let me live. So you've got all of this just great information and just encouragement coming from, you know, a whole group of women that's on this site. So I'm a little biased, so I would say if anyone out there really wants to check out one of the sites, for me, that is a must-see site, because you've got video on there, and I think what that site does, it really meets women at a personal level, and I like that about that particular website.
Well, that was the thing, because there was a lot of the breast cancer foundations do a lot of great work, but when I was diagnosed, I wanted to talk to a girl who looked like me, who talked like me, who was going through treatment like me, and one who was a survivor. I wanted to know people that were going through all that I was going through and had understood and got it. And the tigerlily.ning.com site is our social network. We have Facebook, which has over 3,000 members. And then we have our Ning site, which people can come on. If you go on Tiger Lily's website and click on Tiger Talk, that goes to our Ning site, and all these girls can join and network and share and post videos and pictures and have a sisterhood of sorts, you know, and they don't feel alone, because once you put a post on the page, it'll appear, the newest post appear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At any given time, you can find somebody who's going through what you're going through or share a story. And
I have to tell you, too, the photos on that website, they are powerful, because you've got the photos where, you know, you see the young ladies, and they still have all of their hair, you know, and look the way that they looked before they had the breast cancer. And then you fast forward, and then you see the pictures when they're going through chemotherapy, look totally different, has lost all of their hair. So, you know, so I really have to commend you, because you have photos of yourself there too. I really just have to commend all the women, you know, who posted those photos, because that takes a lot of guts and courage to do, because you know how we women are when it comes to our hair.
Yeah, that was the worst part. that was the scariest part for me, because I could ignore the I could pretend I didn't have breast cancer.
Right.
But the day I had to shave my head because it was dropping in chunks, and I had my own comb over. I had a comb over. I used to hide the hair, the bald spot, by putting, you know, hair. And then one day I got up in the morning and took my shower and brushed my hair. I forgot that it was out of the root, and I brushed it. I remember that feeling that the whole chunk just came out in the brush.
So it literally is like that, Mom? I mean, it literally just comes out in chunks like that?
Well, what happens is the hair, the follicle dies, the cell. You know, it's not holding your hair anymore. So the hair is just in the root. So when it starts to drop out, when you get up in the morning, you might see some on the pillow. Or if you scratch your hair, it'll come out in your hand. Or it just kind of starts to come out because it's not attached to your scalp. So it just starts dropping. And if you don't shave it, it will fall out, and it will fall out in the most inopportune places.
Right.
So I had to shave it, and I looked in the mirror, and I was like, oh, my God, look at me. I just sat there like, okay, I have breast cancer now. There's no way to avoid it. And then my family is so amazing, but like most families, they wanted to protect me. And, you know, I said, I want to put a picture of myself out there, because I don't know how many girls there are who are going through this, who don't know that it's okay to be bald. It's okay to be, because people even that love me would say, put your wig on before you go outside. And I said, are you embarrassed of me? And they're like, no, we love you. And I said, what does it matter if I don't have any hair?
Right, absolutely.
So
right.
Why should I be hiding myself?
Right.
And so I thought, it made me feel like I should be embarrassed of my head being bald. So I thought, and that in itself is not a very healing thing.
Absolutely,
what heals is
honesty
heals. Being who you are heals. Being authentic is what heals. So I put the pictures of me on the site that were before and during, you know, treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And then other girls began to email and go, oh, my God, you know, you did that. I'm going to do that, too. And, you know, so it liberated them. It allowed them to be who they were.
I thought that was pretty big. I mean, I really thought that was pretty big because, you know, like I said, I've done, oh, my goodness, just so many stories on the issue of breast cancer, and have seen, you know, a lot of websites. And I have to tell you, it's very, very rare that I have seen so many photos of women, you know, sort of that before and after. I mean, you may every now and then see a sprinkling of sort of one to two, but there are just a lot. So, I mean, I really think that particular website, I just love that website. It really is my favorite. And I kind of feel like if you go to that website that you don't feel like you're lost in a sort of mass of people. It's a more personal, I think, intimate website, and I think that's why I like it too. It's really nice.
Well, the whole idea about Tiger Lily is, you know, our motto is beauty, strength, and transformation. And it's all about the energy, because energy is healing. Good energy is healing. Positive energy is healing. Relaxing energy, love, you know. And so everything about the foundation, every single word on the main site, I've written everything myself. All the women that come on, you know, we try to encourage them to share, to love, to connect. That's what's going to help to heal them. To be who they are and to cleave to who they are in terms of, like, you know, be who you are, love who you are, and then go through the process. And so we foster an environment of healing because and of sharing and of intimacy, because it's a very intimate experience, you know, that people go through when you lose your breasts, when you lose your hair, when you lose your fertility, and it's redefining who you are. And so women that come to the site have to feel like, you know, they have to exhale when they come to our website and kind of feel like, okay, I'm at home now. I can breathe. I can relax. And
do you have a place yet, or are you thinking about that where you're having sort of, you know, maybe meetings once or twice a year where, you know, just sort of the women can just kind of get together and sit around and chat or something? Do you have that yet, or are you thinking about it?
We have little informal get-togethers because one of the things we do, a lot of people have support groups, but when you're 16, 17, 18, 25, 30-something, you have a child, you have work, you have things.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit in a support group and cry for an hour. You want to do what you like to do and with your friends. So we have, like, get-togethers, like, you know, we'll have dinner, we'll have a little, you know, spa party, like, and then the girls come together. So we're trying to make that more formal and more regular.
Mm-hmm.
And then we like to have a conference next year, a women's, you know, a breast cancer conference that will allow for that kind of thing. So we're going to start formalizing the get-together so it's, you know, on a regular basis.
Right.
Because right now it's kind of just, you know, as you go, it kind of impromptu, but we're going to formalize that and then following that up with a conference soon.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I tell
someone...
you something, not to cut you off, but one of the things that we do is we're huge into social networking. A lot of the girls that we support are all over the country. Some girls are in other countries, you know, as well. We use Facebook and the Ning site to get girls who can so get support via text messaging, via Skype, via, you know, Facebook Instant Messenger. I can't tell you how many people, when I log into Facebook, the girls pop up and they're like, hey, and then we can chit-chat about their treatment, what's going on.
Right.
So we utilize all these modems to help to reach young women wherever they are.
And the internet is great. I mean, you know, you think, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, you know, we didn't have all this technology. So you're absolutely right. And that's why I said if you go on Google and Google your name, you literally take up the first 2 pages on Google when your name come up, because there's so many different websites that you're out there on and just places available, you know, for women to go for information or, you know, for whatever it is that they need. So I'm just, like I said, I'm just so impressed that you were able to do that in 2 years. Now, you were also on, I want to mention all this, you were also on Good Morning America. You were in Essence Magazine as well. What was that experience like on Good Morning America?
It was very surreal because I just didn't think that it would happen so fast. And, you know, when you start something and you think that, you know, there's not really a path for that thing, and
sure.
You kind of wonder if you're doing the right thing, but it feels right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned before, like, you know, the ideas come and then the foundation grows and then we keep going forward. But the way the Good Morning America thing came about was so surreal, the way it happened, the way that I got the phone call. Robin Roberts is amazing. The other women on the show were amazing survivors. And it was a really surreal experience to be able to share our stories and educate other women all over the world about the issue of breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
getting it at a young age and surviving and thriving during and after breast cancer.
Yeah. So
I think I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so how were they able to connect with the Tiger Lily?
I'm a super crazy, relentless advocate, so I pretty much do everything and anything I can to get to support, to get the word out, and everybody I meet. But the way it happened was I met a friend of mine who had a friend who had a breast cancer foundation, and I began to help her with things at her organization. And then she had had applied for a grant from Coleman the year before, and Coleman partners with Essence Magazine. And Essence Magazine had an email out about finding this girl to be the, you know, a 30-something-year-old survivor they wanted for a story. And then, she emailed me and said, you know, we should get you your story to these people. And we did that. And then I was in Essence Magazine, and Robin Roberts got diagnosed around that time, or she had been diagnosed recently, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then so that's how Good Morning America got. That's how that happened. So it was kind of like a series of odd, just kind of circumstantial things.
Right. But you know, when you think about it, it really isn't, because it goes back to what you said, and your focus was, you know, when you started the whole thing, that it's all God. So, you know, every single thing that has happened and that will continue to happen for you, it's all God, and it's obviously for a purpose. You know, I'm sure when different people hear your stories, everyone has a sort of take and a spin on it. But I think for me, what really stands out at your story was that one basic question that you asked yourself a long time ago, when I leave this earth, how can I make it a better place for my daughter? So I really kind of, you know, in my heart feel like that, you know, this is answering that question for you. This is how you're making it, you know, God, it's like, this is how you're going to make it a better place for your daughter. I'm sure not what you were quite thinking of, but
no, it wasn't.
But nevertheless, you know, certainly did not mine it. Now I know we've got a couple more minutes left, and then the show is actually over. It goes by so fast. But I do want to mention you've got another program. Is it a calendar that you're working on? A fashion show or something that's coming up? I saw on Facebook.
We have 2 things coming up. There is a swimwear line that a woman's launching in Saks Fifth Avenue in Tysons Corner, Virginia.
Awesome.
And it's for women who have had mastectomies and lumpectomies. And so she's a survivor of cancer as well, I believe ovarian cancer, but she wanted to make a difference for women who have had breast cancer because it's such a, it changes your body and image and all that stuff. And so I'm going to be the MC for the event. Saks has a breast cancer event every year in October in all their stores, and it's called Keys to the Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And for the one that we're having on October 17th from 2 to 5 at Saks Galleria in Tyson's Corner, I'll be emceeing the fashion show and launching the partnership with me and her, her line. It's called Bella Figura.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have survivors wearing the bathing suits as well as models.
That's
and
great.
So, yeah, that's going coming up. And then October 22nd is our annual, our first annual gala at the Willard Intercontinental Hotel in Washington, D.C. And people can buy tickets on
our
website.
Yeah, I'm going to ask, are tickets still available for the listeners?
Yeah, we have tickets available. They're going really fast. So if anybody wants them, please go get them as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But the tickets are on the website under our events page. And the event will be honoring Representative Wasserman Schultz for the work she's doing to change young women's lives with the Breast Cancer Early Act.
That's awesome.
We're going to honor her for her work, and Andrea Rohn is the MC. And
mm-hmm.
all the media outlets locally are involved with as presenters or as, you know, spokespeople for the event. Local television media as well as radio media and print media, they're all coming together to support this event.
That's wonderful. You
yeah.
had no idea what God had in store for you, darling. You had no clue.
You know, it's funny. I get up and I look at my email, and there are like 300 emails in, you know, the 8 hours. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Why are they emailing me? And my mom's like,
well,
you began this thing. Yeah.
Well, listen, I totally have to thank you very much because I know you get a lot of emails, over 300, like you said. So thank you for deciphering and going through those and picking out Victoria. We do appreciate that here. So you're doing great work yourself. I'm trying. I just, you know, being in television news, I always felt that nonprofits and women issues was really my thing, and that if I could ever, you know, give them those organizations more time, whether it's an hour and a half, to just discuss whatever it is that they want to discuss, that would do me fine, and that's sort of my calling, and I would be very happy with that. So, you know, just to be able to sit and have a conversation with you, it's very inspiring for me. And again, just to let everyone know, you can go to my website, and I think there's one other website of yours that I have to put on there, but basically all of her websites are on there, so you can just click and it'll give you a link right to it. I did that before we started the show, and I will leave those websites up there for probably about 3 to 4 weeks. I'll leave them up there for a while and don't take them down. So I hope everyone gets their tickets, and I'm sure when you're not so busy, but that's crazy because you're always going to be busy from now on. You know this, right? This is not going to stop. You'll be busy forever now.
Thanks, Victoria, for the reminder.
It's over.
It's
over for you and your daughter. You'll be gone and on airplanes and busy forever. But I have to tell you, I do get a tremendous amount of joy, you know, when I do click online and following every single thing that you're doing, knowing that you're doing it for God and at the base core, that, you know, you were doing that for your daughter. So thank you so much for calling in, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to chat with you again soon.
Thank you, and if I can support you in any way as at all, or if any of the listeners, you know, need support or education or need anything, you know, please go to Victoria's website, and she'll give you a means of connecting
with
me.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, darling, you have a good Saturday. Actually, I'm headed into Washington right now myself. I'll be there for about 3 or 4 days.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so you enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, love. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, boy, what a wonderful conversation. I told you guys, she's really, 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 really good and just so much into trying to educate and empower women and young women out there about breast cancer. So certainly, you know, whenever you see anything that Maima has up, you know, support her, whether it's, you know, supporting her on Facebook or buying tickets or, you know, making a donation to her organization, you know, you should really do that because, as you can tell, she's out there and she's really doing some good things. And what I do also like about her foundation, you know, you can start off in very small amounts. You can make a $25 contribution. So, you know, she's not even asking you you know, to start off making a large amount, because it is difficult today in the economy with, you know, all of us trying to survive and pay bills. But, you know, if there's any way that you can, again, help her and help the Tiger Lily Foundation, then please do that. And, again, all of her websites are going to be on my website, so you can get all of that information there. We do have a couple of minutes left, and I do want to mention some of the upcoming programs that we have. There's a young woman, Lisa Haynes, who just finished a book, and she is a producer and a mother and a lecturer, so I'm excited for Lisa. She's going to be on in a couple of weeks to talk about her book, which is called Desires of the Heart. Tomorrow we're supposed to have a woman on, Maria, and she's going to talk about how to have a fabulous Halloween party. So if you like Halloween parties, she's probably going to be a good person to listen to. She also has a book out on Amazon as well. And then the last interview that we have coming up is the Dreaming Zebra Foundation. And these folks are in Colorado, and they basically, they're a nonprofit organization, and they try to help children of all different ages and backgrounds to experience art creatively through their foundation. So we've got some good stuff coming up, and also still working on the American Newswomen's Club to come on for about an hour to talk about how, if you're interested in journalism, print, television, publication, or any of that, how that organization can help you get started as well. So as always, I want to thank you so much for joining me on At Home with Victoria. It has been so much fun, and I look forward to hearing you on some of the different shows. Thank you.